Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
Welcome to On Driven on Joy 94.9 with your hosts Kafam and Hugh. Tonight on the show, we have a Joy 94.9 presenter and her partner, who is a Joy 94.9 newsreader. They will talk about which country they met in, the rocky start to their romance, how both of them battle separate illnesses, and of course, their volunteer work here at Joy 94.9. Once again, we have a great show coming up tonight, so stay with On Driven on Joy 94.9.
Our Entrepreneur Joy 94.9, Kafam and Hugh here with you today. Hello, Hugh.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Hugh, today I heard a joke, and because I'm Chinese, I can say it.
Okay, tell us a joke.
Now, I heard this on TV. They said that, you know, if you don't stop eating that burger, you're going to end up with more chins than a Chinese phone book.
I don't get that.
I think that's good.
And you know what? I was so excited to tell my colleague about it, and she said, that's an 80s joke. Everyone's heard it already.
Okay. Wow. Like, how do you follow that?
Anyway, on today's program, we have Cass Mitchell. Welcome.
Thank you. Lovely to be here again.
And Helen.
Hello.
And Helen's a newsreader, isn't it?
That's true.
And Kaz is from the Women's Zone on a Saturday afternoon, 3 to 5 p.m.
I am indeed.
Well, and so the music we just heard
is, of course, was the wonderful Kaz Mitchell.
Thank
Do you want to
you.
Tell us what the song was?
Well, actually, Helen chose this song because she's reckons it's all about her.
This is all about me.
Oh.
And there's very few of Kaz's songs I can say this about. She denies it.
No, it's not.
It's
I don't deny
story
it completely.
About relationship, I think.
So, did you write the song after you met
yes,
Helen?
Yes, 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 yes. And it is based on some things about Helen. Helen loves to go to graveyards. The first line is something about walking through graveyards.
That's a bit
she
depressing.
Loves.
No, I
loves
love going to graveyards too.
Yeah, and she can be a bit of a loner sometimes. She sort of tends to go off to do things by herself a lot.
I'm an architectural historian, so this line about walking through Paris and Rome, and
yes, all
never
of those
coming
things.
Home from the aisles of the local library. That's me.
That's all Helen. That's all Helen.
Okay.
But it's an amalgamation of that and just. You know, I guess the work that I do. I work with people with mental illness and see a lot of loneliness and a lot of sadness. So it is partly Helen, but it's also part some of the people that I've worked with.
Let's take a little jump back and go back to where you come from, Cass, because you come from Dundee.
I do indeed.
Do you want to tell the listener where Dundee is?
Dundee is on the east coast of Scotland. It's sort of between Edinburgh and Aberdeen, up on the east coast. And it's it's an interesting little town. Not a tourist spot really. Not somewhere where you would want to go.
Chuchters.
A lot of chuchters in Dundee.
What's chuchters?
Chuchters.
Chuchters.
You got to get that sound at the back of the throat. Chuchter.
What does it mean?
Well, it's
a derogatory term for somebody who's Scottish.
Or someone particularly who's from the Highlands, I think.
Do you class Dundee as the Highlands?
No.
No, I don't think so. Because it's more near Edinburgh, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the opposite of being urban and hip.
Yes. A country, sort of. Yeah. I mean, Dundee's a city, but it's a very small city.
Sounds a bit like me. But now, you know, in front of me, it's got written here that you stayed in a house full of lesbians. That sounds quite exciting. Tell us a bit more about that.
I did. I moved when I came out. I moved into a house full of lesbians. I think there was eight of us at one point, and various cats.
Always go together, don't they?
Yes, yeah. And it was a pretty full-on experience. I was there for 3 years, and it was a life-changing experience, I would say.
How did you end up in a house with seven other lesbians?
Well, when I moved to Edinburgh, I was staying with some friends that I knew from college, and I got the opportunity to move into this beautiful house. It's a beautiful three-story house, and it was very cheap because it's like one of these kind of commune houses. It had been bought over in the 70s by some bunch of hippies, not all women, but a bunch of hippies, and over the years it had slowly become a women's house. So it was very cheap and massive rooms. My room was huge, wasn't it, Helen? It was just massive, and it was just a gorgeous place to live.
15-foot ceilings.
I didn't know, though, when I moved in. in the dramas that would occur. You know, we used to have these fortnightly meetings that were really scary.
You love the meetings,
house rules,
don't you?
It was an experience.
What part of Edinburgh was it?
It was in New Haven. Beautiful part of Edinburgh, gorgeous but very scary.
And you say it was life-changing. How was it life-changing for you?
Well, I learned to deal with a lot of conflict living in that house, put it that way.
So it was good for your work, you know, social work, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it was. There was a lot of good times, but there was a lot of pretty bad times too. But the good thing is that's where I met Helen.
Mm. Now, Helen, you actually told me that when you went overseas, you weren't gay.
I don't think I could say that. I think what I would say is I didn't have a clue I was gay, despite the fact I was travelling with lesbians and moved into a lesbian house. Don't ask me that.
That's what I find funny. That you,
I was
as
terrified
a straight,
of this place. Amazon right. Lodge, it was called.
Amazon yeah. Lodge, yeah, that's right.
It was a strange environment for me to be in.
Mm. A lodger that was called?
The house is called Amazon Lodge. It didn't actually officially have that title. It wasn't up on the wall or anything, but it's what it grew to be known as.
Kafam, you need to keep up with the Scottish accents here.
And also because you were only the only at the time the straight girl, and what did you have to, you know, did you say it out loud to everyone that please don't touch me or look at me that way?
No, she didn't, which made it very confusing for me.
I thought they would all know in like 2 seconds. I didn't think I had to explain myself. I thought it was obvious. But so apparently it wasn't.
How did you and Kaz get together then? I mean,
there was the
straight female and 8 lesbians.
I think they call it a slow burn, don't they?
It was a slow burn.
Yeah, it was simmering passion over a period of 6 months. Nothing happened very quickly, let me say.
Must have driven you insane, Kaz.
Indeed. Well, but to clarify, though, she didn't actually stay in the house for 6 months. She was just up visiting for a few weeks, visiting a friend who'd just moved in and then lived down in London. So we had a bit of a correspondence thing going back and forth. And then Helen moved up just 2 days before my birthday, and that's when it all happened.
That's when it all happened.
Yes.
Helen, you told me a funny story about the female who you went overseas with. Do you want to tell us what happened?
Well, I got to know her because our boyfriends were very good friends in Melbourne. And I was a good friend, became good friends with her, and we went travelling together. And when she got on the plane in Melbourne, she was straight. And then when she got off the plane in France, she had an affair with a lesbian friend. And by the time she got to Scotland, she had the short hair, she had the leather, the dripped denims, the attitude.
She just slipped into that role.
She moved into a separatist house, and at the house meeting, she was like, no, we shouldn't have any men in this house ever. And I felt like I had to protect her cover, but it was a bit like, are you the person I knew like 2 months ago?
And did you talk to her about it? What happened to you? Where's the girl I used to know?
No, I was just amused, really. I think part of the thing about going overseas is you can be a different person, and I'm sure I came out in Edinburgh because it was easy for me to do it. And it was easy for her to do that, to experiment with another persona.
She just did it a bit more quickly and radically than you did.
Yeah, I couldn't beat that.
She obviously just was waiting to go on that plane and think, this is it, I'm free, you know, let's go.
And to be honest, when you jump me, I'm just as attractive.
More attractive, yeah.
This is Orange Riven. You're listening to Kafam and Hugh.
Joy 94.9.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
This is On Driven, Joy 94.9's multicultural show with Kafam and Hugh. And our two guests tonight are Kaz and Helen. Kaz, do you want to explain the music that we just played?
Yes, that was a track from Blue House called Lonely Girl. And look, the reason we chose that song is, I guess that before we met, I think we'd both say we were both pretty lonely in different reasons. I think Helen certainly was, being quite isolated down in London, didn't know anyone there. And, you know, although I had friends, I guess I was looking for my soulmate. Mm. I really wanted to have someone that I could spend my life with.
And that straight Aussie girl walked through the door and you thought, you are it.
Yeah, well, pretty much.
After 6 months of simmering heat.
Yes.
I didn't expect to go and live in Scotland. I had a very bad time in Melbourne before I left. I'd suffered from depression for 3 years, and I'd actually decided to go on antidepressants before I left. And I probably had about a month of feeling quite well, but quite fragile, I suppose. Mm. And I went overseas with friends for a 6-week holiday, and I came back 5 years later. So it was a bit of like feeling my way and not quite knowing what I wanted to do with my life, and ended up in Scotland. And the last thing I thought would happen would be that I'd fall in love with a woman, but that's what occurred. So
how did you cope with the life in Scotland? Because Scotland, compared with Melbourne, is completely different.
Yeah, it was very interesting because I really thought there would be no sort of cultural issues in living there. I thought it would be pretty much the same as living at home. And there were a lot of things that were very different. One of the things that surprised me the most, I suppose, was that the Scottish are very, very friendly, but in quite a reserved sort of way. So people would ask me a million questions about myself, and it took me ages to realise they weren't all that interested.
I'm just being polite.
And then they would get very shocked because they'd just say, you know, how are you, how are things going? And I'd just tell them everything, and they didn't want to know. And it was so funny.
And they feel trapped as a result of that.
And, yeah, I think they felt like they were in this intimacy that they hadn't invited. But I thought, well, you asked me 20 questions about myself. You must like me, you know. And also just...
It's so true.
There were some quirky things. You know, I was working in a shop, a health food shop, selling, you know, whole foods. And people would come in and say, oh, you know, I'll have half a pound of pinhead oatmeal hen. And I'd be like... I was amazed. You know, I was this, you know, young woman who studied, like, feminism at university, and I was being called hen and wifey, and I didn't believe that people could use words like this to talk to strangers, you know.
It's quite common for people to say hen.
Yeah, it was a term of affection, but it was just, it was quite strange. And one of the things that really, I suppose, made me quite attached in a way to Kaz before I even knew her was that she used all these expressions that my grandmother used from home. Like, she'd talk about going to do the messages, and that's such a Scottish expression. And I thought it was a generational thing because my grandmother had talked about that, but then, you know, no one else had ever, I'd ever heard discussed, you know.
They still say that.
It means going for going to do the shopping.
Going to the shopping, going to do your messages, you know.
Do your messages.
Go to the butcher and the greengrocer and the post office. Yeah.
And do you say that, Hugh, because you're Scottish yourself?
No, I must have when I was in Scotland.
I think I probably would have done, but I don't anymore.
I think I must have when I was in Scotland. But I went to Scotland once with my ex-partner, and my mother and my sister said to him, he said to them, are you going out? And they said, yeah, we're going for the messages. He thought they were going to the P.O. box.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, you know, going to the phone to check your messages or to send out letters.
Yeah. The best one we hadn't known each other for very long, and we went to the gallery, the Modern Art Gallery in Edinburgh, and we went to the bar, and Helen asked for a pint of cider.
Cider, I want a cider.
Oh, she didn't say her pint. She said, that's right, she said, I want a cider. And the barman said, sorry? And she said, a cider. And this went on a few times, and then she turned to me and said, a cider. And I went, I'm sorry, I don't know what you're talking about.
So there was a bit of miscommunication. First time I met Kaz's mother, she had to interpret between us, which was quite funny.
But mind you, I don't know about you, Kaz, but I find the same here. When I ask for a drink in a bar, sometimes they haven't a clue what I'm saying. You know, and I can see by their face, I think, I'm not connected here. I'm not going to get my drink. But
there was also this particular kind of Scottish politeness, which Kaz still does, which used to bemuse me and confuse me, because people would say things like, oh, you know, it's a bit chilly, isn't it? and they'd actually be saying, "Can you turn your heating up, please?" And I would never pick it up. I would. If they wanted the heating up, they would say, "Can you turn the heater up?"
Yes,
my favourite one with Helen is, "Oh, the bin's looking a bit full." And that means, Helen, got
the bin out. Stop being so Scottish. So yeah.
Yeah, we're good at giving hints, aren't we?
And another thing you mentioned about was like a bleach. We talked about this, off-air,
yes.
The bleach thing, and
yes.
You send up really clean people.
Overly fanatically clean, professional about bleaching everything.
Everything, because I've got a mark on my jumper, and we worked out it was my sister in Scotland last month that bleached.
Yes, no, that's very true. It's very true.
Maybe it's something about living in those cities that are centuries old. You sort of feel like you need everything to be clean and modern. And
how did you cope with the food?
Oh, my God.
Oh,
well,
don't start her about the food.
And I lived in a succession of places with lesbian vegetarians.
Including myself at that time. I was
so,
a vegetarian.
Yeah, I was not in love with soya bacon.
And now you are?
No, I'm still not in love with soya bacon. So between the vegetarian diet and then not being able to afford to go out to anywhere because the wages were so bad, it was the food front was kind of interesting.
Well, you're on Joy 94.9. And coming back, when you come back, I want to talk more about the depression. Joy 94.9.
Love every day with Joy.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au, or if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
This is On Driven with Kafam and Hugh, and our guests tonight are Kaz and Helen. Helen, tell us what the music was.
Well, that, of course, is Annie Lennox, who's probably many people's favourite Scottish singer. Maybe I'm being a bit bold there, but she's certainly
great.
One of mine.
Yeah.
And this CD has special relevance for us, as Kaz gave it to me as an early present way back then.
So it goes back, what, 17 years? 16 years?
16
Not quite.
Years, almost.
Probably
15 or so.
I think we'd been together maybe about a couple of years, and we were going through a bit of a rocky phase, I remember, and I bought her this because I know she loved Annie Lennox, and I can remember I came and gave it to you at work one day.
Which is the sort of thing that annoys me no end. It's like,
Every time we'd had a big row, I used to go to her work with big bunches of flowers or CDs.
Oh, that's romantic.
Totally embarrass her.
That's romantic. Yeah. Anyway, Helen, we spoke about you having a breakdown before you left Australia. Tell us, how did you cope in Scotland? Did it still bother you, or were you getting over it there?
Well, it was kind of like a double whammy for me because I did suffer from depression. And then over that period of time, I also basically, all my friends kind of left from Australia as well. So basically, you know, my friendship circle just kind of died away
because
of my illness. And so, yeah, it was hard. So I'd sort of... you know, I think the depression originally sort of originated in the fact that I'd come from this violent family background. My father had a mental illness, and was quite violent and a bit, you know, off the wall and so on. So I think as a young adult, I'd kind of all that history had sort of come to a head. And then, this experience was really negative. So I didn't have a lot of trust for people, I think.
When you met Helen, Kaz, you work in mental health, don't you?
I did. I was quite new to the field at the time we met, and I wasn't trained in mental health or anything. I'd actually started doing music groups with people with mental illness, and then I'd started to do a women's group and such like. But yeah, look, I think it probably did help. I think that, you know, Helen didn't tell me straight away that, you know, she'd had a mental illness, but I suspect that I could see her sadness and her pain and her kind of reserve and saw that as maybe something that didn't scare me because I kind of could understand it a little bit.
I think you saw it as a challenge, actually. I think you wanted
probably
to be the one to break through.
I remember one time in the early days, before anything had happened, Helen warned me. She says, "I'm a prickly pear. You don't want to come near me." And I said, "Oh, you let me decide."
Yeah, I tried to put you off. I gave you lots of warnings, but you were like, "I think I can be the best judge of that. Thank you.
So what are some of the symptoms of depression?
They're varied, but they're all pretty unpleasant. So I think just wanting to isolate yourself from people is one of the main ones. Like a total emotional and physical apathy. Like at one point I was sleeping 16 hours a day and actually just getting up was hugely hard. You know, it would take 3 hours to actually get up because I didn't have the motivation, you know. Just probably being incredibly hard on yourself, like, you know, nothing you do is worthy, you know.
One thing we spoke about before the show was it happens, but you've got no control. It just takes over your whole body and mind and everything, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people are just, like, impatient with it and, like, oh, get over it.
Yeah, it's not a weakness either.
They see it as being self-indulgent and just, like, you should be able to... I can, you know, I can have a job and I can function and my life's not wonderful, so why can't you, you know? And it's, but it's, it might start off as an emotional state of mind, but it actually becomes like, you know, you sort of gradually become encased in cement and you can't do anything. And then it's gets to a very physical level, I think.
When you realised that you were falling in love with Kaz and you were a lesbian, did that help?
I didn't acknowledge I was a lesbian for about 4 years.
while you were in the relationship.
I just thought I was falling in love with Kaz. I didn't actually analyse it beyond that.
Yeah, but did that help your illness?
I don't think I really connected them. It helped when I met Kaz because she's someone with very many special qualities, and one of those is she's so unjudgmental and she really listens to what you have to say. A lot of people don't listen. They just anticipate and... you know, decide for themselves what you're about. So she was very open to me. And I've just felt always that she was very trustworthy. I always, from the start, I really trusted her. And that was hard for me to do with anyone, so...
And did you feel that because you're depressed, you felt maybe unworthy of Kaz's attention?
Absolutely. I had no idea. I just thought, why would you be interested in someone like me? It just totally... I thought, you know... I tried to put it off, but it didn't work.
So very quickly, what helped?
What helped with depression?
Yes, for you.
Look, I have to say, this is probably not going to be popular to a lot of people listening, but drugs helped me. And I have to say this because I went to see prescribed antidepressants. I have to say this because I was depressed for 3 years and I didn't actually seek the help of a psychiatrist. And to one of my friends, someone who I sort of met during this period and who did care for me, said, look, I'm going to go and take you to see someone because I'm really worried about you. And I went to see this great woman called Trudy Kennedy. And I only saw her for about 2 months. But at the end of it, I said to her, you've been great for me. And I said, what can I do for you? And she said, I just want you to tell people that sometimes it's good to take the drugs and that they work. Because I'd gone in there saying, there's no way I'm taking drugs. I can sort this out. You know, I just need the right sort of psychological therapy, talk help. And she had other ideas, so.
This is Joy 94.9. You're listening to Orange Ribbon.
This is a podcast from Joy 94.9, a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station. For more content, please go to our website at joy.org.au. Or, if you're in Melbourne, tune in to Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 Orange Ribbon, multicultural show, Hugh and Kafam with you here today. And that song was selected by Kaz. Tell us something about that.
Yeah, that's Tori Amos, Winter. And look, I chose that song for quite a few reasons, actually. I mean, I was listening to that non-stop when Helen and I first met. I was just totally in love with Tori and the album.
That Kaz did love Tori Amos more than me. But I could cope.
And I have a very vivid memory of us sitting in this wonderful three-story house on the second floor with these beautiful big bay windows, watching the DVD of this in front of a coal fire with the snow outside, and the track's called Winter.
Oh, right.
And we hadn't really got together. I think it was a few days before Helen was due to go back in London.
We were
coming to the boil. Helen was due to go back to London a few days. I think I was feeling really sad. I wasn't sure how Helen was feeling, but it was a very emotional
And the music just added to it.
And the music just totally added to it. And also it's about winter. It's winter in Scotland. We met in Scotland in winter. And also, you know, even just listening to the lyrics there, how appropriate it is to some of the things that Helen's just saying about depression, you know, that, you know, things do change. You know, that there's that.
Yeah, I think, I mean, one of the nice things about being able to tell that story now is that that was 20 years ago. And I haven't experienced depression since then. So okay. I think for young people, I think it's something that happens to a lot of people, especially in their late teens or early 20s, that young adulthood period.
So there is hope there.
Yes.
Well, I mean, definitely. And I think a lot of people don't actually publicly talk about their depression, and people don't know that.
Let me just read out a couple of messages before we move on. There's one from Mark. A special shout to Kafam, because I forgot to mention him the last time. I don't see my name here, Mark, but never mind, I'll forgive you. And we've got another message, but you don't know who it's from, but they say, thanks, I agree, and I think they're talking about medication for depression, so thank you very much for
certainly
that message.
Certainly friendship helps, but it wasn't enough.
Yeah.
And while you guys were together, you know, you had this condition called sleep apnea.
Well, that's right. Well, I didn't know that that's what I had at the time. I only got diagnosed my sleep apnea 2 years ago, but while with... I think when we were together about 3 years, I suddenly got really quite sick, and I was sick for about two, three years. And I think it was a combination of things. I think there was a lot of stress involved, but I really got quite sick. And it's only now looking back when I see that I've since been diagnosed with sleep apnea, and it was probably largely due to just not getting enough good sleep, which is...
So you're actually asleep, but your brain's still working, is that
it's just that you don't go into a deep sleep. I mean, I could have sworn that I was a very sound sleeper. I mean, I always used to say I'm a sound sleeper, and I'd sleep for 9-10 hours, but I'd not wake up refreshed, and that's just because I wasn't getting into the really deep REM sleep, which they're more and more recognizing is the state of sleep that you need to recover from, to properly...
Yeah, it's the restorative cycle.
Yeah. And how did that affect you, Helen?
Well, I can't say Kaz is much of a party animal over that period. And I was like, I was happy, and I was in my late 20s.
She got over a depression.
And I was wanting to go out and enjoy myself. So it was frustrating. But I think, you know, we'd actually already been through worse things by that point. So, it was definitely worse.
Did it affect your relationship?
I definitely put tensions on it, for sure. I think, too, because there was no diagnosis, it wasn't like, how long is this going to last? We didn't know, so... Mm.
And, Kaz, did it cause any complications with you, you know, in any others? Did it bring on an illness or something?
Well, I think that's what happened. I think I got really sick because I wasn't... I mean, like, if you're not getting enough sleep, and this is going on for years, which it had been doing, then, you know, your immune system is challenged, and you're not just not very strong. Mm. And, look, I can say if anyone feels like they might have sleep apnea, go to your doctor, because you can... You know, I sleep with a mask now, and it's just amazing. I have an incredible...
You sleep with a mask.
It's an electrical mask. You mentioned earlier, it's an electrical mask.
Well, it plugs in, and you put it on, and it's just pumps the air into your ear passage, keeps your passageways open through the night, so you get good sleep.
A little bit.
It's a little bit.
And it's got an outlet you mentioned earlier during the break time.
Yeah, it can get a bit breezy on my side of the bed sometimes.
It's not very sexy either. Helen has to sleep with a pillow in between us.
So. I must have missed this part of the conversation.
You did.
But, yeah, it's like me and Kaz in the trunk.
Yeah. And now just moving on to your stardom.
Yes, let's move on to your volunteer work at Joy.
It's a stardom volunteering.
But before we do that, let's talk about your music. Mm-hmm. You've got a gig coming up, haven't
you? Look, I do. I don't gig very much these days, so this is a bit of a first for me in a while. It's a short gig. It's a part of a... There's a not-for-profit organisation that call themselves Roar House, and they provide a showcase for musicians. It's a socially inclusive gig where they promote awareness for artists from marginalised communities. So the reason I came across this place is that some of the guys that I work with who have a mental illness have played at Roar House, and they also try to get in mainstream artists as well, so that it's a real kind of mix. And that's on the 16th of April at Bar 303 in Northcote, and I'll be doing a short set, and there'll be a whole heap of other musicians and poets and spoken word and all kinds of stuff. So yeah, come along, and my CDs will be for sale there as well if people are interested.
So you're going to be sing some of the songs off the CD?
No. They're old.
Are they?
They are old. No, I've got lots of new songs. Mm, so, yeah, busy. Do come along.
And it's still a great CD.
Thank you.
Someone stole mine.
Is it on the website?
I don't have it. I've got a MySpace site, which is myspace.com/KazMitchell.com.
Okay.
Now, there talk about Joy.
Let's talk about Joy. Mm. Now, Kaz, when did you start with Joy?
I'm reckoning it was about 4.5 years ago now. I was on a monthly show with Peggy for the Powder Room, and mm-hmm. I did a women's music show for her once a month. That's how I got started into that. And then a couple of years later, I got my own show, which was the Women's Zone on
the
Saturday afternoons.
The Women's Zone on a Saturday, yeah.
Independent women's music.
Okay. And Helen, you read the news, but you didn't start reading the news. How did you start in journalism?
No, I was press going into being on the desk because Kaz needed someone to answer the phone during her show. So initially I wasn't a volunteer. I was conscripted labour.
And this was late on a Wednesday night when I had the...
But I have to say that Joy worked its magic on me pretty quickly. And before long, I was just wanting to come in and meet the people I associated with here. And I just loved it.
Yeah,
I really like how you put it. Joy works its magic on me.
Mm. Yeah, but it's a great atmosphere, isn't it? Mm. You come in and everyone's friendly and everyone gets on and you do the job. And because you're a volunteer, it's not like it's hard labor or anything, but you know, you do the job and you enjoy doing it. Mm. But like a lot of people who start at Joy and do the admin work, you moved on from there, didn't you?
I did. I became a newsreader, which I love. So, yeah, that's been exciting for me.
When are you on?
I'm on every second Saturday afternoon during the 5 and 6
my show.
Slot. Yeah. Following Kaz, but anyway.
Because I still have to get my
on the highlight of her show at the end.
Can you put on your newsreader voice for us?
This is it.
This is it. It's 23 degrees.
We actually have another message about sleep apnea, and it's from Mark. I have sleep apnea too. Luckily, it is mild. I knew it affected my sleep, but the doctor told me that it also puts stress on your heart.
That's right. Yeah, no, it can be. I mean, although it's not, over time, I think if it's not treated, and especially, you know, if you're very overweight, that can cause problems as well. But people can have heart attacks and strokes as well.
Mm. Not that Kaz is on my ad since we're on radio.
Oh, no, well. No. Not
Let's go back to your show, Kaz. What gave you the idea to have Women's Zone?
Well, I was actually asked to do it. Peggy actually asked me to do a women's music show. Actually interviewed me as a musician and chatted to me about coming in to do a women's music show. And when I just started doing my own one, I just carried on with that theme. I'd collected a lot of women's music. And look, there's still a big... a dearth of women musicians, I think, on radio. I mean, apparently there are only 20% or something like 20% professional musicians in the world.
All right.
So it's pretty low. So, there are women, yeah.
So how much time do you spend every week researching all your music?
Oh, probably about... to put a show together, it probably takes about 2-3 hours, and then I might do an extra hour or two a week finding new music.
And that's a lot of work, isn't it?
It is, yeah, but I love it.
And the dedication. Joy magic.
I do love it. It is the joy magic.
Yeah, I think that's the good thing about the volunteers and all the presenters. They do put a lot of time in, and there's a lot of work behind the scenes that you do for the show.
Sure.
It's well worth it.
Thank you very much, Helen and Kaz.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Wonderful for you to come on Driven.
Thank you.
It's been a really good discussion tonight. That's on Driven for another week. Our special thanks to Kaz Mitchell and Helen Stint. Coming up next on Joy is Simon and Paul with Global Sounds. Thanks for joining us on Driven tonight. We'll be back again at the same time, 7 p.m. next Wednesday, with more insights into our GLBT multicultural community here in Australia and around the world. Thanks to Nick and Jerry on reception for the help tonight. From Kafam and myself, Hugh, good night.
Good night.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.